Good morning. This morning's talk is part of our Toronto upcoming trip in April, leaving April 9th for Toronto to be there on Yogaswami's annual Mahasamadhi celebration day. So one of the events is primarily for the Caribbean community of Hindus up there, which is quite large, and they selected as the place for the talk the Vishnu Mandir. So the Vishnu Mandir has quite a collection of deities, and it's adding a new one, adding a Murugan deity. So we get to help install their Murugan deity in the Vishnu Mandir. But their goal is to be an all-community temple. That's how they describe themselves on their website. So the people from any Hindu community can come there and worship and feel at home. So first of all, we have to visualize warm weather, right? Oh, it's so sunny, and everyone's complaining how hot it is. Lots of warm, sunny weather. On April 12th. So, conditions in the world today are certainly troubling. Wars between countries, wars within countries, plus a serious threat of international terrorist acts. The terrorist attacks in New York on September 11th naturally heightened everyone's concern about these problems. One of the immediate consequences of the 9/11 terrorist attacks was the presence of television coverage depicting people in a number of countries who strongly hate the United States, some to the point of wishing violence upon it. Watching these shocking reports on television, we were quite impressed by the extent and seriousness of the problem of prejudice in the world today. Attitudes of prejudice toward those who are of a different race, nation, or religion can start simply as distrust, which can then deepen into dislike, and deepen further into hatred, which can turn into a desire to inflict injury. Are we born with these attitudes? Certainly not. We are taught them at home, at school, and even in some religious institutions. In the last few months, a number of resolutions have been passed objecting to the U.S. going to war with Iraq. Others have expressed their objection by demonstrating in the streets. These actions are sincere and make a point, but they certainly do not address the core of the problem, which is hatred. People have been raised to hate those of different ethnic groups, religions, or nations. The solution, though a long-term one, is that we need in the century ahead to teach all children tolerance, openness to different ways of life, different beliefs, different customs of dress and language. We need to stop teaching them to fear those who are different from themselves. Stop teaching them hatred for peoples of other colors and other religions. Stop teaching them to see the world as a field of conflict, and instead instill in them an informed appreciation and a joyous reverence for the grand diversity we find around us. Instead of teaching children to be intolerant and to dislike and distrust, hate and inflict injury on those who are different, we can teach them to be tolerant and like and trust, befriend and help. And of course, the central place for that to occur is in the home. Secondarily, it can be further strengthened by also being taught at the temple and at school. It is in the home that we can change the world for the better. It is the qualities we cultivate in our children that create the world of the future. Therefore, the most effective form of protest to the violence in the world is to give more thought to what our children are learning as they grow up. And in this regard, every father and mother is indeed a guru. In fact, an individual's first guru. The quality we wish to develop in the child is a prejudice-free consciousness, possessing an open-mindedness that readily embraces differences in ethnic background, religion, and nationality. How can parents nurture a prejudice-free consciousness? As we mentioned previously, we are not born with prejudices. They are all learned at home, at school, elsewhere. This gives us a good overview then on how to nurture a prejudice-free consciousness, which is by carefully monitoring what children hear at home, school, and elsewhere that expresses prejudice. It is nurtured through complete avoidance of remarks which are racially or religiously prejudiced. Through discussing with our children any prejudice they hear from others at school and elsewhere, and correcting it. We can teach children to avoid generalizations about people and instead to think about specific individuals and the qualities they have. Even positive generalizations should be avoided as they encourage us not to look at the qualities of specific individuals. Television and movies can provide useful situations to discuss. It can be developed through having our children meet, interact, and learn to feel comfortable with children of other ethnicities and religions. There are a few key Hindu beliefs that are the basis for Hindu tolerance. The first belief is on the nature of God, which is the basis for Hindu tolerance of other religions. The Vishnu Mandir exemplifies that Hinduism has a wide diversity of traditions, but that the followers of the different traditions respect one another. This is based on the Hindu concept of the Supreme Being. Hinduism has four major divisions or denominations, Saivism, Saktism, Smartism, and Vaishnavism. Each calls the Supreme Being by a different name. To Saivites, the Supreme is called Shiva. Saktas refer to the Supreme as Shakti. Smartas call the Supreme Being Brahman, and to Vaishnavas, he is Vishnu. However, the important point is that each Hindu is worshipping the same Supreme Being. The name is different. The tradition is different, but it is the same Supreme Being that is being worshipped by all Hindus. There is an ancient verse from the Rig Veda that is often quoted in this regard. Ekam Sat Vipra Bahuda Vadanti. It is translated as, truth is one, sages express it variously. Reality is one, the learned speak of it in many ways. Or the universal reality is the same, but different people call it by different names. This same statement from the Rig Veda can be expanded beyond Hinduism to include all the world's religions. That there is only one Supreme Being, and all the world's religions are in truth worshipping the same Supreme Being. Hindus also believe that there is no exclusive path, no one way for all. They profoundly know that the God they worship is the same Supreme Being in whom people of all faiths find solace, peace, and liberation. Religious beliefs are manifold and different. Hindus, understanding the strength of this diversity, wholeheartedly respect and encourage all who believe in God and do not seek to interfere with anyone's faith or practice. Since the inner intent of all religions is to bind man back to God, Hindus honor the fact that truth is one, paths are many. Ekam Sat Aneka Pantah. Nonetheless, Hindus realize that all religions are not the same. Each has its unique beliefs, practices, goals, and paths of attainment, and the doctrines of one often conflict with those of another. Even this should never be cause for religious tension or intolerance. The Hindu belief that gives rise to tolerance of differences in race and nationality is that all of mankind is good. We are all divine beings, souls created by God. Hindus do not accept the concept that some individuals are evil and others are good. Hindus believe that each individual is a soul, a divine being who is inherently good. The Upanishads tell us that each soul is emanated from God as a spark from a fire, begins its spiritual journey which eventually leads it back to God. All human beings are on this journey, whether they realize it or not. The Hindu practice of greeting another with namaskara, worshipping God within the other person, is a way this philosophical truth is practiced on a daily basis by all Hindus. This belief is taken one step further in the Vedic verse, Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. The whole world is one family. Everyone is family-oriented. What we do is to benefit all the members of our family. We want them all to be happy, successful, and religiously fulfilled. And when family is defined to be the whole world, then it is clear that we wish everyone in the world to be happy, successful, and religiously fulfilled. The following Vedic verse captures this sentiment perfectly. Sarve jana sukhino bhavatu. May all people be happy. In the 20th century, Dr. Martin Luther King, after giving careful thought to the problem of discriminatory laws, selected the Hindu principle of ahimsa, as exemplified by Mahatma Gandhi's tactic of nonviolent resistance, as an effective method for overcoming the unjust laws of racial discrimination in the United States. It's interesting to note that in 1969, Dr. King spent 5 weeks in India discussing with Gandhi's followers the philosophy and techniques of nonviolence to deepen his understanding. Perhaps in the 21st century, the world can again turn to Hindu values, choosing this time the concept of tolerance as a way of creating a future for this planet that is free from war and terrorism. To be continued. Not quite finished, but has some spirit. Huh? Yeah. So the idea, it has a couple of points to it. One is it's trying, and we have to, that part has to be developed a little bit more. It's trying to show the greatness of Hinduism, you know, make Hindus proud of, gee, we've got a pretty smart religion here. It's providing values that guided the 20th century and can guide the 21st century to be a better world. You know, we don't often think of that. So that has to be developed a little bit more. Plus exactly what tolerance means. And it's one thing to say, okay, I'm tolerant, but to, and again, this has to be developed, to pin it down. So it's like children, you don't tell them just not to hate people, but you know, tolerance means to learn to trust, to like, to befriend, and to help. You know, pin it down to that level. So it's more than just a kind of a, I'm tolerant of someone, but I help everyone. I like everyone. You know, take tolerance down to that level of action. So that needs to be developed a little bit more as well. Thank you very much for being an attentive sounding board.